Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Now this side of the church is going to have to do some inviting people to church. Amen. They ain't got a seat available on this side. We got some seats on this side, so we got to get some people to fill this side of the church up. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11, it says this: of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by whom reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of the hands and of resurrection from the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we bow our heads to you today. And God, we just want to thank you and praise you for being the great God that you are. Lord, I think of those songs that we've had as specials. And Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for all the good things you've done for us. Lord, for taking our place on the cross. And we thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray you'd help us today as we look into your word. Lord, that see that some of us might have been saved a long time, but haven't grown like we need to. And God, I pray that you'd help us and motivate us today to strive for perfection in you. And Lord, we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what we're going to do today is just kind of just take this as a verse-by-verse approach and look at what each of these verses are telling us. First off, in verse number 11, look at what the Bible says. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now, we the church have many things to say. Amen? I mean, many things. This is a big book that we've got here in our hands. 66 books in one volume. A lot of pages, a lot of chapters, a lot of verses. And there's a lot going on here. I mean, this is over 1,500 years worth of history of the church written down in this book. And we got a lot of things to say. And let me say this, some of these things are hard. It says they're hard to be uttered, hard to even be said. Some of them are hard to understand. Would everybody agree? That, man, there's some things in the Bible that's hard to understand. Me and Brother Jimmy were talking outside about something, and we were trying to figure it out. You know, there's some things when you read the Bible, it's hard to understand. There's some things in the Bible that even harder to understand and grasp are harder to live. Amen. You know, Brother Robert was talking about in devotion some things that are hard to live, you know. The Bible commands us to do some things and to live a certain way and to act a certain way. And guess what? In ourselves, we find it impossible many times. That's why we need the power of God in our lives to be able to do it. And it's hard to do this. And you know what makes it harder? Paul, but the writer of Hebrews here is saying it's hard for all these things. And he said it makes it especially hard when you are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Now, when we say that, it could mean a couple of things. I say two things today. Either one, you just won't hear. You just won't listen. You won't have it. You know, man, you hear something that doesn't line up with what you think or believe, I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to listen to those types of things. And there are many people that come in the church or that we witness to out in the community that when we share with them the words of God, they take that approach. I just don't want to hear it. You know, I've went with people before. You know, I believe in relationship evangelism. That's the form that I love the most. Friendship evangelism. And what I mean by that is I meet people, I befriend them and I try to win them through our relationship. I don't just go in and say, let me tell you the gospel. I get close to them. I get to know them. We get to be friends and I try to invest in them. But you know, I have done that before with people. And man, I'll go with them somewhere. Maybe I'll go play golf with them. Maybe we'll go to a ball game. And you know what some people have told me before as we start to go? They say, now we ain't talking church today. That's what they'll tell me. Now we ain't talking church today. I ain't coming here to talk church. I'm coming to play golf. I ain't here to talk church. I'm here to watch a ball game. And I respect that, and I don't try to push it on them. But here's what they're saying. I ain't hearing that. I don't want to hear it. Maybe you have some friends, some loved ones that are like that. We're not going to hear it. But also, I think about for us today as the church, we can become dull of hearing because we hear it so much. We've heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, the greatest news. The gospel means the good news. And we've heard the greatest news that's ever been told, that God came down in the flesh in the form of Jesus. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross for my sins so that, as Brother Randy has seen, that I could go free. That's the greatest news ever. But we've heard it so much that when we hear it, it don't raise our heartbeat one bit. And we've heard it so much that we can nod off at the sound of this great news. It can bore us to death because we've heard it so much. We become dull of hearing. And we hear so much of the Word of God that it doesn't move us. It doesn't change us because we've let it become a casual thing. We've let it become something that's normal when it is something that is extraordinary. And so we can become dull of hearing. Look at what it says in verse 12. It says, For the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Here's what the writer is telling these folks. He said, some of you, it's about time that you ought to be a leader in the church. It's time that people ought to look to you as an example of the Christ life. But unfortunately, we're having to go back and teach the basic things to you all over again. You should be teaching others, but instead, you're like a babe in Christ, and you need the milk of the Word of God. Some are still on the milk. You know, let me ask you a question today. How long have you been saved? When did you meet Jesus? When did you get born again? And I want you to think back to how long ago that has been. And some of you here have been saved longer than I've been alive. Amen? But some might not have been so long, and some of you might not be saved even today. But how long has it been? How long have you been in church? Been in church maybe your whole life. How long have you been there? And the sad thing is, and this is the reason why many churches in America are weak churches. I mean, they're not strong, they're not growing, they're not doing anything, because they're full of baby Christians. They're full of people that might have been in church for 40 years, but they're still a babe in Christ. They haven't matured. You know, it's kind of like they're Christian kindergartners, and they act like that. And boy, I tell you what, a church made up of Christian kindergartners is going to be a weak church. A church made up of babes in Christ is going to be a church that's going to suffer some things and need some help. And what we need to do is all strive to grow and mature in the faith, and we're going to talk about that today. Look at what it says about a babe in Christ in verse 13. It says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, you're a babe in Christ today. Now listen, we all start off as a babe in Christ. Amen? So that's okay. If that's where you are and you just got saved, don't feel bad about that. We all started there. We all had to be a new convert. But if you've been saved for a long time and you're still a babe in Christ, there's something wrong. And you're a babe in Christ for two reasons. You're a babe in Christ either because of absolute refusal. You will not hear the Word of God. You will not apply it. You will not seek to grow. You will not seek to better your relationship with God. Or number two, you do it by neglect. You just don't put an emphasis on it. It's not that necessarily you refuse it, but that you just don't seek it out. You're not trying to grow. And you know what? How a babe acts? You know, as babies or little children, they do things that we kind of expect and we kind of say, well, okay, well, you know, kids whine. I know y'all's children never whine, but my kids whine. They pout. They sulk. They do all these things. My kids, I didn't have to teach them how to be selfish. They was born that way. I mean, hey, this is my, I hear that all the time. That's mine, they talking to each other. It's my turn. What about me? It's all about me. That's how my kids act sometimes. That's how children are. And you know what? We say they're children. That's how they act. That's kind of, they acting like a baby. They'll throw temper fits, stomp their feet, say, no, I'm not going to do that. They just throw a temper fit. And we say, well, we correct them, but we say, that's children. They act like that. You know what's sad? When grown folks in the church that have been saved for many years, allegedly, and been in church for many years, it's sad when they whine and pout and sulk. That's not too good, is it? Now, we look at a kid saying that, and we say, well, that's a little kid. But then when grown people in the church are whining and pouting and sulking, that's a different thing. It's different when grown folks in the church has been in church for years and say they've been saved and baptized for years ago are selfish and say, this is mine. It's my turn. I'm this in the church, and I'm that. That's a sad thing when we have selfish people like that in the church and have been saved for a long time. It's sad when a grown person throws a temper fit about something they might not get their way or something they don't like. Temper fits are for babies. It's not for mature believers, not for people that are mature in Christ. That's not the case for them. They're self-controlled. And so this is what babes do. This might be what a new convert would do, and we would want to teach them, and they grow to a better place. But this is not what it should be if we've been saved for no long period of time. That's not the case for them. Look at what it says in verse 14. It says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I want to kind of stay on this verse here for a little while. You know, babes can't eat strong meat. You know, they're babies. I was yesterday, one of the great things about pastoring, this is one of the great things, is going to the hospital and being there when one of the church members' babies is born. That's a great thing. That's a joyous day. And I got to be there yesterday when the Loopers had their little baby. And you know what they didn't do? They didn't take the baby down to the cafeteria and say, let's get it a burger and let's get it all this. Because it's a baby, it takes milk, and that's the case. Strong meat is for those of a mature age and these types of things. And you know, when we're talking about meat from the Word of God, there is a great misconception about what that is. I had a guy told me one time, he said, I don't go to church. And I asked him why, and he said, all y'all do at church is give out milk. He said, I need some meat. All y'all do is give out milk. I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But he had a misconception about what meat is. And maybe you have a misconception about strong meat from the Word of God, what it is. You know what it's not? Let me tell you what it's not. Strong meat from the Word of God is not controversial topics. That's what people think meat is a lot of times. They think it's Bible prophecy. They think it's, you know, some sort of topic that is hard. And there's some hard topics in the Bible. You know, we're not going to say there's not. It's not about predestination. That is not the strong meat that the writer of Hebrews is saying these folks can't handle. The strong meat of the Bible is things like this. How about self-denial? Jesus said this, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know what happened when he told a lot of people that? They said, I ain't following you. See, they liked the milk, but when he said, take up your cross and follow me, they said, whoa. That's another level. I'm not able to handle that. And that is the strong meat of the Word of God that we're talking about today that people can't handle. They can't handle the take up your cross and follow me parts of the Scripture, where we're called to deny ourselves. You know what our culture is about? It's about self-indulgence. Yes, amen. It's all about me. I mean, hey, what can you do for me? What can fill my pleasures? This is our culture. You know, they're canceling that show I told you about. There's a show called American Idol. They canceled. Think of the name of that song, American Idol. I'm an idol. The winner is an American idol. Worship me. You know, people take these things called selfies. Look at me. Take a picture of me. I've taken a selfie before with my wife. I've never taken one myself. But, you know, that's just the culture. Selfie generation. This is what we are. And guess what the Bible says? It says, deny yourself. It says, take the hinder seat. Well, that goes against my flesh. You know, I was riding in the car yesterday, and I heard on the radio on the way home from the hospital that when we are the center of attention, that our brain lets out dopamine, which makes for a pleasurable experience when we're the center of attention. And, you know, that's just how we are. But the Bible says for us to not be the center of attention. It says, deny yourself. That's tough. That's tough. You want to hear some meat? The guy that won't come to church, you want to come hear some meat? How about deny yourself? That's meat. How about sacrificial service? I read a quote from a preacher, an old preacher, that said, I'm not going to give to God anything that doesn't cost me something. Sacrificial service. Sacrificial giving. We'll give out of our increase. Oh, I got plenty? I'll give a little extra. I got plenty? Sure, I'll give. Well, what if you don't have plenty? You going to still give? Are we going to give sacrificially? Are we going to give to the causes of Christ our time? I don't have time to give no more to God. Well, we're going to sacrifice something else of our personal time to give more to God? Now, this is meat, folks. This is the stuff that the writer's saying folks can't handle. They like to stay on the very shallow, the very weak substances of the Word of God. But when you start talking about sacrificial giving of our times and our services, our talents, our money, well, that's another ball game. It ain't about when Jesus is coming back or the rapture of the church. It's about these types of things. You know what's tough? You know what's meat? Forgiveness is meat. You say, forgiveness is one of the principal things. Well, have you ever had to forgive? I mean, you ever had to forgive somebody that did you wrong? I'm talking about real wrong. You ever had to do that? It'll become meat to you. It won't be just one of those easy things anymore. It's easy to preach on forgiveness. It's easy to say, oh, forgiveness is the principal thing. No big deal. Wait till somebody hurts you and you got to forgive them. I'm talking about does you wrong and you got to forgive them. And guess what you'll find out? This is the meat of the Word of God. And it's easy to say, I forgive you. It's another thing to do it in your heart. It's another thing that in your heart you have let it go. And you've given it to the Lord. And these are hard things. And these are difficult things for us to grasp. They're hard to live. Man, I just think about the faith life. The faith life is hard to live. And the reason why a lot of people never live it and they never get to a place where they've grown in Christ is because they've tried to live the faith life without Christ. They haven't operated in the power of God. I just want you to know something, Dave. If you do me wrong, I can't forgive you. I need the power of God to do it. Because in my flesh, I won't want to forgive you. I want to hold a grudge. I want to remember it. And I want to be happy when something bad happens to you. But with God, I can do it. The Bible says that through Christ we can do all things, which strengthens us. And only through Him can we forgive and experience these great things. Man, it's tough to live by faith, but through Christ we can do it. You know, killing sin is tough. Loving the unlovable is tough. God calls us to love people that are unlovable. To love people that we do not like what they do. Love people that hurt us. Love people that don't love us. The Bible even says this. He said, if you love somebody that loves you, in other paraphrasing, big deal.
Yeah, right.
Everybody does that.
Yeah.
Everybody loves people that love them.
Yeah.
But what about people that don't love you? What about people that could never do you any good? We're called upon to love them. This is the meaty things of the Word of God. And I know that some of them sound like basic things, but man, living them out takes a supernatural work of God. And we got to get there. Look at what else it said in this verse. It said, even those, now they're talking about those that strong meat are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now that's interesting. It says by use, they've exercised their senses, their spiritual senses. Now by use, a couple things. These people that are spiritually mature, they stay in the Word of God. They stay in prayer. They come to church. And guess what they've done? They have their spiritual senses exercised. Have you ever heard the old saying, use it or lose it? You ever heard that? You know, that people are talking about that when it comes to exercising. And when you're getting a little older, amen, it'll say, hey, use it or lose it. You either got to stay active or you're going to lose it. Well, guess what? You got to use it or lose it in a spiritual sense. Brother Robert mentioned it in devotion today that sometimes we lose some things that would have convicted us, or we lose some of our senses because we are not putting them to use. And guess what it says you can do? You can discern good and evil. Now listen to me. I guarantee you that I can discern good and evil in you. And you can discern good and evil in me. But this is what this is talking about. That you can discern good and evil. I can discern it in myself. It's easy for me to find your fault. That's easy. In fact, we don't even have to be that spiritual to do that. I could just say, hey, you lacking here, you weak here. We can find it. Y'all know that. We can find weaknesses in others. But what is spiritual is when I can discern good and evil in my own self. And the only way to do that is to have my spiritual senses exercised. Boy, when something comes in my mind and I got to say this, whoa, that didn't come from the Lord, amen? Man, when I have a feeling in my heart and I have to say, now this isn't of God. Where did this come from? This is evil. You see, it's kind of like we let some things go on, like at our house, we might not worry if this is so clean because it's our house, amen? You go somewhere else, you want it to be clean. Man, can you believe they didn't clean that up? What's going on here? It's the same way in our spiritual sense. In my heart, this is okay. I'll leave this alone. I ain't worried about that sin. And that's the problem. Some of us aren't spiritually mature enough to notice sin in our own hearts. Or either we just overlook it on purpose and neglect it. But he says these folks that are of full age and mature in Christ, that eat the strong meat of the Word of God, they can discern good and evil. Not just in others. Not just out in the community. I can discern good and evil in my own heart. I know when I'm being prideful. I know when I'm being greedy. I know when I'm being covetous. I know when I'm being lustful. I know when I'm being sinful. Amen? I know when I'm not right. And let me ask you a question. Do you know when you're not right? Can you identify in your own heart, man, I got some sin issue and I need to deal with it. When we get there, we're on the right track, amen? Look at what it says in verse 1 of chapter 6. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. And we're going to talk about these things real quickly. But we do have to secure the foundation. You need to get sure on some things. If I asked people in here today, I say, now, are you sure there's a God? I imagine most of you say, I'm sure of that. And we got to secure some other things. A foundation is important, right? Yeah. I mean, the foundation of this building is important. But you know what we didn't do? We didn't lay the foundation and then say, you know what? Let's come back and lay a second foundation on top of it. Let's just do it. Let's just keep laying foundations. No, you lay the foundation and then you go on. The ABCs are important, right? We learn them in kindergarten or before that. You know what we do? We move on. I mean, basic addition and subtraction is important. But you know what we do? We move on. And unfortunately, many people never move on in the spiritual life. They worried about the ABCs, and that's good, but they never, ever move on. Now, I, and again, kind of some of the things he mentioned here, repentance from dead works. I mean, we all should come to grips with the fact that we're not going to earn our way to heaven. I mean, man, you can read the Bible and you can find that out real quick. You and I are never going to work our way there. We'll never be good enough. The Bible says even our righteousness is as filthy rags. Even our good works is as filthy rags. In other words, we've got to be covered by the blood of Christ. And you need to just come to grips with that. And you know that some people never do? Never do. I'm shocked sometimes by what I hear from people. I mean, people, I think these people got it, and then they'll shock me with a statement, you know. I was sitting by somebody's bed in the hospital. They was about to die. And I asked them about their soul and about being saved. And they told me about when they got saved. And then they said, and then I tried to be a good person. They kept on with this. I said, you know, it ain't about all that. They said, oh, I know, but I'm just trying to do a little extra. They didn't get it completely. They still was trying to do a little extra. You know, I've talked to people that are confused about all kinds of stuff like that. We need to get sure on that. He said about faith toward God and about the doctrines of baptisms. It says baptisms here, plural. You know, there are two baptisms. There's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if somebody tells you you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you've been saved, they already got it. I got it when I got saved. I got all the Holy Ghost I ever going to need in that moment. We were baptized into the family and the church of God. But then there's also the baptism of water that we do here at the local church. We need to get settled on that. That's what it is. It's by immersion. And get settled on these things. It talks about the laying on of hands. And you know, there was a laying on the hands. And remember that the book of Hebrews is wrote to the Jews. You know, laying on the hands is this. It had three meanings. Laying on the hands was a symbol of imparted guilt. They lay their hands on the sacrifices. You know what it was? It was a symbol that our guilt is going on them. The sacrifice for our sin. People would lay their hands on their children to give them a blessing. You remember that? And then there's also the laying on the hands of the presbytery that people get anointed and ordained for ministry. And all these things of eternal judgment. Folks, we got to get secure that there's a heaven and a hell. There is a real heaven that God made for those that are saved. And He made a place just as real called hell for those that don't believe in Him. Hell is real. And there's people there today. And we got to get settled on that. And this is what we need to do. We need to go on to perfection. We need to go on to maturity. And look at what He said in verse 3. And this we will do if God permit. And I want to just share with you a little bit on that and we'll be done. You know, you can do everything you can do to grow spiritually, but it's still a supernatural work of God. You know, Brother Carl and me were talking outside about his garden and hadn't had rain, he said, in 21 days. He planted a garden and then went on a drought for 3 weeks. But you know what he did? He plowed the ground. He prepared the seed. He planted it. And guess what? He was still dependent on God to grow that garden. You know what you can do? You can read your Bible. You can pray, you can come to church, but we're still dependent on God for Him to grow us and mature us. And what we need to do is just prepare ourselves for growth. I'm going to get in the Word of God, I'm going to pray, I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to confess to God that, God, I can't grow myself spiritually to look more like You. I need You to do it. The writer here says, we'll do this. We'll go on to perfection. We'll mature in Christ if God will permit it and He'll allow it. And I can't promise you this. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, if you read your Bible, pray, and come to church, I cannot promise you that you're going to grow spiritually. He said, but I can promise you, you will not do it if you don't do those things. And I just ask you to do this. We're going to come back tonight, and we're going to talk about Elijah. And you know what Elijah did? Elijah put God to the test. But he did according to the Word of God. He said, God, I'm going to do these things at your Word. And God came through. You put God to the test at his Word and see if he don't come through. See if he won't grow you. See if he won't increase your knowledge. See if he won't convict you of sin. See if he won't bring you to the place that he wants you to be. The question today is this. Are you where you ought to be? How long have you been saved? How long have you been in church? Are you still a babe in Christ? Or are you on the road to maturity? Are you on the road to where God would have you to be? That's the question we've got to ask ourselves today. Let's stand together today and have a verse of invitation. Time for you to do business with the